Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Banca Transilvania Financial Results First Quarter 2017 conference call. I will now hand over to your host, Mr. Ömer Tetik, CEO, Mr. George Călinescu, CFO, and Ms. Mihaela Nădășan, International Relations and Financial Institutions Executive. Sirs, madam, please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much. This is Ömer Tetik, Banca Transilvania. Thank you very much for joining us to announcing the first quarter results of this year. Also, I would like to thank you to the existing shareholders for their support throughout the year 2016, and also for the confidence vote they have given last week at our general shareholders assembly by approving our ambitious budget numbers and also discussing our business plans in detail with us. I would like to very briefly, because we don't have all the, let's say, official or final numbers about the first quarter results of the banking system. What we are estimating is that, as you may know, the ones following Romania clearly, at the end of each year, especially in the month of December, there are lots of payment settlements. Arrears are being cleared. State pays its dues to companies, especially to large companies. There is a huge accumulation of cash in the market due to consumption growth because of the Christmas season. Including ourselves, in most of the banks, the liquidity increased a lot from the customer deposits and mainly current accounts. However, looking at our, let's say, picture and markets, interbank conditions, we would say that probably the total assets of the banking system either didn't grow or maybe even slightly decreased. On the other hand, the, let's say, loan growth is still on an upward trend, mainly supported by the consumption, especially after the adjustments of the public sector salaries, which is putting pressure definitely on private companies and on us as well, so that, the disposable income have increased. Again, after a couple of months of silence, I would say that we see also signs of increasing demand for production facilities, manufacturing facilities. Industrial orders are growing, so our customers have higher volumes. So far, it has been a good year for agricultural sector in terms of the weather conditions. If it will keep up, definitely we are expecting a good harvest in all the segments of agribusiness. GDP growth target became a moving target this year because financial institutions, international financial institutions, banks, National Bank of Romania, the governments are discussing different numbers. It seems that there's a consensus between 4%-4.5%. Our estimation is that the GDP will grow around 4.2%. This, it will be slightly below 2016, but still will show a strong growth. Hopefully, it will be supported by investments in infrastructure and production so that it will be continuous growth in the coming years. Romania has already given signs of, let's say, end of the monetary cycle, easy money cycle, so that National Bank of Romania is expected to increase interest rates or to change the corridor to make some monetary policy adjustments maybe at the end of this year or early next year. This is already reflected in the fixed income markets. We think that the yield curve will not tilt in parallel, and most probably in the long end of the curve, there will be a smaller move, while the short term might be affected more. As regard to Banca Transilvania's numbers, just as a parenthesis, we have posted our presentation on the website. If you didn't access it now, access it already, you can always have an access after the conference call. We will also provide the, let's say, minutes of the discussion, plus questions and audio recording after the hopefully tomorrow at our website at the investors section. In the first quarter of 2017, Banca Transilvania's loan growth had been at 3.2%. The write-offs had a small impact. We had total write-offs of 70 million lei in the first quarter. So we are maintaining our provisioning and cost of risk target for the year, for the budgeted target. But it will not be linear. Definitely there will be some further movements. And also, I have to mention that now we are doing a market sounding, maybe to have a small portion of non-performing loans portfolio sale in the coming month. And the loan book quality remains similar to the year end. We see that the EBA NPE ratio has decreased, maintained a decreasing trend, decreased from 9.8% to 9.2%, and our PAR 90 is kept below 5% with a coverage ratio of the NPE ratio. We are at 65% level. The deposits, as I mentioned, have seen a small correction, so that the money was from bank accounts moved back to the economy, to the circulation. But it was the month of January when we were discussing the end of year results. We were mentioning that there was a political tension and there was a consumer sentiment and entrepreneurs sentiment was low. However, it recovered in February and March. We have seen that the business appetite, investment appetite has been growing, and the other 2 months of the quarter is very well compensated, especially for our case, for the slower business in January 2017. Our operating income is slightly lower than last year first quarter, but if you look at the components of the operating income, actually our net interest income is 6.5% higher, net fee income is 11% higher, and net trading income is 36% higher. Definitely we did, as you have seen and some of you already sent questions about this, we did some rearrangements of our fixed income portfolio, local T-bills and bonds that we carry, which reflected itself directly as a negative position in our profit and loss statement, but also had a positive contribution to our to the reserves, equity reserves under AFS reserves in the equity of the bank. We had, we think that looking at the medium and long term movements of the yield curve and interest rates, the average duration of our portfolio, which is at around 3.5 years, is quite optimum, and we don't want to decrease it aggressively because we think that the further movements will be on the shorter end of the curve in the next month or maybe throughout this year. But now we are having much more efficient portfolio performance. The net profit of the bank is 246 million lei. And at the BT Group consolidated level, our net profit is 267 million lei. The cost of risk, which again most of you have been paying attention, is almost zero. The business as usual cost of risk for this quarter was at around 40%, which brings it to 40 basis points, which brings it to 160 basis points for the year on a yearly basis. There had been some decent recovery from the non-performing loans, and there was also an impact of the write-offs of almost 70 million, 15 million euro equivalent, which had an impact of almost 20 million lei on the provisioning numbers and cost of risk. But as you, again, some of the analysts have forecasted, not fully, but half of the Baran Plata, the walkaway low provisions, we have reversed. But we still keep the half of the provisions for eventual market conditions and changes. The net interest margin of the bank is at almost 3.3%, 326 basis points, with a return on equity of 17% and Tier 1 capital ratio of 17.5%. This capital ratio doesn't include dividends. I mean, it's post-dividend in order to show the real numbers, which will be after paying the dividends in August. And the cost-to-income ratio is higher than our budgeted level. You know that our budget is 42.6% for 2017 for cost-to-income ratio. We think that it's quite ambitious, but we are also believing that the bank will manage to reach that because of the increase in income items, higher control in the costs, and also absence of one-off items in the first quarter, and after the first quarter of this year. Because during the first quarter, besides the deposit guarantee fund, which was an additional 50 million lei quarter-to-quarter changes in expense, we also did some investments preparing, based on the changes in the law and fiscal code. You know that the POS usage is increasing, so we have purchased a large chunk of POS to be distributed to our customers. We have invested in some technology and digital applications, which were mainly impacting the first quarter of the year. We are very, careful about this, but also we are happy that we can present you almost every quarter double-digit growth in our net fee and commission income, because consolidating our market share, maybe even slightly increasing it, having 2.2 million active customers, this is what it counts, not only the growth of lending, but we are earning, more and more from the portfolios and customer wallets. We are becoming, for most of our customers, the first bank of choice or the main bank of transactions. Net interest income has also increased by 6.5%, and net trading income 36.8%. Definitely we benefited from the volatility in the first quarter, so I don't think that it will be that much of volatility for the rest of the year, so that we will position ourselves that good. But as I mentioned, there is a pressure also on the costs as well. Our cost base operating expenses has increased 10.8%. This is coming from stationary items, salaries, rent. But we don't think that it will be much of a change, because we did the adjustment contract already, and we would like to keep a good eye on the cost on the costs and control the costs. Retail loans have reached totally 15.4 billion lei, of which 8.1 billion lei are from consumption, and our corporate, mid-corporate and SME loan book is close to 15 billion lei, of which 11.1 billion are coming from large corporates. And the deposits also, you know that we have a very strong funding base, and we have total household deposits of 27.2 billion. And the corporate deposits have decreased. This is also related to the fact that the decrease in deposit numbers, especially from large corporates, we have seen a decrease to 14.6%. We are, we were a pioneer, but now we are, also the market is following us. We are definitely in the loan book, very much focused on local currency lending to maintain a good risk management structure. The NPL ratio is at 4.9%, and the NPL coverage ratio with the mortgage collateral is close to 115% at the end of the first quarter of 2017. And we think that this is already a sound number, especially looking at peers from Romania or out of Romania. This puts us definitely as a prudent bank. Retail loan book, as I said, it is 15.4 billion at the end of March. What we see happily is that our investments in digitalization of of the bank are paying back, and our internet banking users increased to over 120,000. Actually, as of today, they are almost 850,000. And mobile banking users, based on the campaign that we did in the last period, at the end of first quarter, it was 300,000. As of today, we are close to 350,000. With 2.9 million active cards and 330,000 active credit cards, we are either market leader or contender to be the market leader. And transaction volumes are slightly about 20%. On the SME and micro business, we are very happy to see that our new initiative, BT Microfinance, IFENE, the non-banking subsidiary of the group, had very good demand. And in the first quarter of the year, we even gave our first 1,000 loans from the company with more than 3,000 requests at a, let's say, early stage of launching. And we are happy about the, let's say, customer base that we create there. Hopefully, we will have customers graduating from BT Micro to BT later on in the coming years. We are also very active in our partnerships with international financial institutions so that we can offer special loans and guarantees for our customers' needs. Our total number of SME customers reached 215,000 active customers with a loan book of 4 billion lei. Corporate loan portfolio is about 11 billion. It's more or less stable, but this is also an expected trend, usually in the first 2 months of the year, especially lower amounts of investment. But our colleagues managed well to, let's say, with the new production, has matched the reimbursements so that we maintain the portfolio. But we have a couple of ongoing transactions that will definitely come up as an additional value on top of what we have there. As regard to the group, definitely the profitability of the group, our subsidiaries' contribution to the BT Financial Group's bottom line is very important and becoming more and more significant, as you see in the numbers presented here. But also, their market shares are growing. We are also proud to see that our asset management company is one of the top players, our leading companies in the top five leading companies, and our let's say investment equity market boutique, I would say, BT Capital Partners, not only started showing positive results and business growth, but also involved in several complex transactions, important transactions for Romania, including the DG RCS RDS IPO, which is currently running. In terms of the, let's say, financials, I would like to finish here and hopefully switch the questions and try to answer your questions as we are all here. Also, we are joined by our Chief Risk Officer, Ms. Luminița Runcan. If there are any questions that we can answer now, we will try to be of help. If not, Mihail and her colleagues will revert back to you. And we will try to update our presentation as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Please lift your handset before you ask a question. Thank you for holding until we have the first question. Our first question comes from the participants with the line ending 3022. Please go ahead.
Hello everyone, this is Andreas from Berenberg, and thank you for your time today. I have three questions. The first one, can you please give us some detail on all the one-offs in the P&L? So in the presentation we see 66 million in the NII line. But is there anything else, anywhere else in the P&L? That's the first one. The second question is basically, are you still sticking to your budget for 2017 and to your cost-income guidance for below 45% for the year? Because if this is the case, this would imply relatively higher fees, trading, other operating income, loan losses, but also relatively lower expenses for the next quarters compared to Q1. So should we expect these trends for the following quarters in your financials? And the third question, can you explain in a bit more detail what's driving the zero cost of risk? You did mention it a little bit during the presentation, but just making sure I haven't misheard anything. Thanks very much.
Hello, Andrea. Thank you very much. I hope you hear us well, because we have been having difficulties hearing you, but I guess I understood all three questions and will try to answer. As regard to the cost of risk, I will start let's say from the last, the first one. As regard to the cost of risk, main items which had an impact is that the, let's say, the positive impact had been the reversal of half of the walk-away law, the Dar and Plata provisions, recoveries of 20-25 million lei.
So you, how much? How much? So you're reversing half of the walk-away law?
It's almost 100 million lei.
100 million, okay. What else?
There are some recoveries, let's say, not expected for the first quarter of the year, I would say. It's around 40 million lei, actually. Now also my colleagues are alerting me. On the other hand, let's say, we didn't have the, let's say, a linear write-off in the first quarter, so that not we didn't write off one-fourth of what we budgeted for this year. The amount is quite small, only 70 million lei, considering our portfolio, with an impact of 20-25 million lei on the provision, a negative, let's say, impact on the cost of risk. So that, I'd say, we think that if I offer you a guidance, the business as usual cost of risk, if you will take out all the write-offs and you will look at our, let's say, budget trend, or let's say realization trend, should be around 40 basis points for the quarter, and that means 160 basis points for the year. But definitely we will accelerate the write-offs especially in the second half of the year. And as you have seen, we are budgeting cost of risk over 200 basis points. But still, we think that the legacy or business as usual cost of risk of the bank without these write-offs would have been below 200 basis points, close to 150 basis points. We will try to add up some numbers also in the presentation to avoid any misunderstanding, any misguidance. In terms of the cost of cost-to-income ratio, indeed, actually our budget figure for 2017, approved by the shareholders, 42.6%. It's very ambitious, but without the write-off, or let's say without the deposit guarantee fund, our cost-to-income ratio is around 48% in the first quarter. And there are, as I said, a few investments which we booked as expense in the first quarter, which will not repeat at this extent the rest of the year. Plus, our revenues, net fee and commission incomes, plus interest incomes are growing. So that I'm very comfortable that we will be below 45%. As regard to one-offs and P&L, actually, I guess by answering cost of risk and cost income ratio, I did explain most of it. I don't recall anything that I skipped for the moment, but one-offs are composed of deposit guarantee funds related with the, let's say, there are also some adjustments in the interest income, definitely coming from Volksbank, which you see in the presentation. But this will be on quarter to quarter. We have seen it also last year. There are these investment numbers that we already booked, registered in our books. So that will be it, actually.
Okay, so you're actually sticking to both your budget, you know, the total budget for 2017, but also for a cost income guidance of 45% by the end of the year. And on the one-offs, so is there anything else anywhere, like in other operating income? Because if we see other operating income, that looks low compared to what you have budgeted for the year. So we
I didn't understand. You said when we look at the trading income, then we couldn't hear you.
Sorry? Yes. Yeah. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yes, yeah, okay, apologies. Yes, so basically, just looking at your budget, you know, other operating income looks, other net income looks relatively low for Q1 compared to what you have budgeted for the year. So should we expect higher amounts in the next few quarters? And what is actually driving your budgeted other net income?
We do not expect definitely quarter to quarter compared to last year or earlier quarters, the fixed income portfolio had a negative impact that we don't expect. That's why we position ourselves to happen. But on the other hand, also, as I said, we are having, and this has been already known, usually recoveries from bad loans, from the workout loans are happening mostly in the second half of the year. But this year we are also expecting a small trial. As I said, I don't want to commit myself now, but we will be sounding the market for NPL portfolio sale. So this will, help us realistically to reach the numbers, not arithmetically to reach the numbers.
The final clarification, what's exactly your capital ratio? Because in the presentation it's 18.6% and then in the press release it's 19.3%.
The difference is the dividend, because in the press, when we gave the press release, it was before the shareholders' assembly and we didn't have the formal approval of the dividend number.
Okay.
The number that you see is ex-dividend.
Okay. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming to this point, sorry that I will. We have received a couple of questions about the dividends, book value, and how we make the calculations. What I could say is that we do not decrease the book value of the shares. Definitely every year we have been seeing some adjustments in the market value of the shares, which almost every year adjusts itself, but this is really up to the market. So we are going to increase the number of shares by 19% or 695 million lei equivalent. But the book value of the bank will be included this increase of shares, almost 20% more shares, so that this is not dilutive for the existing shareholders. Changing the market price calculation of the shares, and the share capital increase plus dividend payment will happen all in August and mid-August. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have a question from the participant which lines ends 8375. Please introduce your name before you ask your question. The participant whose line ends by 8375, your line is open. The participant with the line 8375, your line is open.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't know that my number was that. Yeah, this is Tunde from Harden Lovner. Can you hear me?
We heard something, but we didn't understand anything. Could you repeat, please?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So I have two questions. The first is, can you repeat what you just said about number of shares increasing and book value? I didn't get it. So if you can please repeat exactly what you are trying to explain, that would be very helpful. And the second question for me is, if I look at your income statement, you have a loss on the sale of available for sale securities. Why did you crystallize that loss? What happened? Thank you.
So, thank you very much. I will try to be punctual, but I guess we have received also in written the questions from you. The idea is that we are going to increase the capital of the bank by giving this free shares of 19%. So that the number of shares will increase 19% at the book value of 1 lei as it is now. So that there were questions if you are diluting somehow the existing or kind of spinning down shares, but this is not, it's not the case. So that number of shares in the equity will increase also 19%. And after this will be distributed to the shareholders in the month of March. August. Sorry, I'm looking now at the March number. In the month of August.
Okay, let me understand. Sorry, hold on. Can I follow up on that? So that's the stock dividend, right, that you're talking about?
Yes, these are...
Okay, got it.
Okay, stock dividends. Okay, there will be two types of dividends that we will distribute, cash dividends and stock dividends. And both will be distributed in August.
Understood.
As regard to the AFS, as I tried to explain earlier, we did a few rearrangements of our portfolio in terms of duration, in terms of the papers we keep, and this created a loss in the P&L, but brought us a more comfortable portfolio. That's why we have this also AFS reserves in the equity, so that there is no we were just aligning ourselves and our position, which is quite significant to the market conditions. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
We have another question. The participant with the number 6273 in the end, your line is open.
Yes, hello everyone. It's Luciano Blescu here from Wooden Company. I have maybe a follow-up question to this related to the dividends split in cash and stock. Maybe more general for the coming years. How likely do you think it's going to be that you will have to, or you will increase the cash part of the dividends going forward? Because I know you have also in your dividend policy that you want to move closer to the 14%, or let's say comfortably above 14% capital adequacy ratio. And right now the capital adequacy ratio is still increasing. So is there any chance next year to see a higher cash dividend versus stock?
I mean, Lucian, hello. Thank you very much for the question. The idea is that I will try to make a journey now leading up to the final answer. The idea is that this year and in the maybe next year, there will be changes also in terms of Basel, in terms of IFRS 9 MREL requirements. So that, we are creating enough capital buffers, which we don't think it will be necessary, but we are positioning ourselves there. We are still expecting some guidance and clearance, so that I cannot give you a number, but definitely we don't consider that we are very efficient in terms of capital usage with this capital adequacy ratio. On the other hand, there are also some consolidation possibilities, merger and acquisition opportunities in Romania. okay about this, but it seems that we may need, or let's say we could have a good use of shareholders' funds. But on the other hand, definitely depending on the market, I mean, next year, in 2018, after finishing 2017, hopefully with the good numbers that we are presenting as budget now, plus finalizing part of our project, having more clearance about, let's say, banking norms and regulations, we can give you more details. What I would say is that, maybe to add up as another, a further parenthesis, that as a bank which didn't pretty much give cash dividends, it seems that we were short of giving you enough guidance, especially end of last year, early this year. We will try to be more transparent and we will try to have more disclosure to the market. And as you can see in our, let's say, simple and basic dividend policy, we think that around 14 to 16% capital adequacy ratio is quite comfortable for a bank of our size, for a bank of for a bank which is in the emerging market. So that we will, once we think that definitely we have excess and we don't have any use of it, we will propose to our board of administration and shareholders further dividends. But now I cannot tell you if it will be higher number or the lower number, what it will be as percentage. It is difficult for me to say. I guess and I hope that we will be able to let's say finalize a few transactions this year, next year, so that we will discuss about growth, about profits, instead of just focusing on cash dividends. Thank you.
Thank you also.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have one more question from the participants whose line ends 8375. Your line is open.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, please.
So this is Katalin Diakonov from Raiffeisen Bank. I have a question regarding the gains from Volksbank loans included in the interest income. So could you give us some guidance for the coming quarters or a number or something for these loans to be included in the interest income, just to have the idea and also to understand better the recurring level from net interest income? Thank you.
Hi, it's Mihaela now. More or less what we were saying also during the previous conference calls, it was that on a yearly basis, the impact of these expected and incurred losses coming linked to Volksbank portfolio is going to be fading away. So in 2015, we had more than 500 million. Last year, we had 200 and something million. For this year, the amount is expected to be somewhere around 100 and something. But definitely, the impact is not necessarily linear during all the quarters. It is also relating to the way in which the portfolio coming from Volksbank is behaving.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no other question. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Thank you very much for joining us and for also putting your questions. I hope that we managed to answer almost all of them. But if you have, if you need further details, please do not hesitate to contact us. And looking forward to present you the second quarter numbers in a few months from now on. Have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.